Comic Timing is proudly sponsored by the New York Comic Con. New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and has double the space with more gaming and anime for 2007. Come to the Jacob Javits Center February 23rd to 25th and experience the biggest pop culture event in New York City, featuring comics, anime, manga, graphic novels, video games, trading card games, RPGs, MMOs, toys, movies, TV, celebrities, and more. Guest of honors include Stan Lee, Jeff Smith, J. Michael Straczynski, and George Perez, with many more to be announced. For a complete list of guests, as well as show information, please visit nycomiccon.com. Buy your tickets online now to ensure your spot for the 2007 show. Tickets are available now at a discounted rate for advance purchase at nycomiccon.com. You can also book your travel arrangements online now on the travel page of the website. Don't miss out on the 2007 New York Comic Con. Visit our website to get all the information you need.
Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a special Comic Timing report on the controversy surrounding the Long Box Podcast. Joining us today is John Mayo of the Mayo Report. John, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Glad to have you on, buddy. And joining us as well is the most hated man in podcasting. You can find his work, if you're lucky, on the Long Box Podcast. He is Just Bill.
Finally, Just Bill has come back to podcasting.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to have you on the show, because it's an absolute honor to be the first person to have you as a guest on a podcast.
You know, this is quite the coup for you, because I am the most sought-out non-comic professional ever in the history of podcasting. Some people may call that elitist and snobbish, and, you know, I don't really care that much. It is all true, however.
Well, you know what? I got to say, man, it's an honor. It's an absolute thrill here, because I've never been a first
before. What's the name of the show again? I forgot. What is the name of the show?
Cosmic Timing.
It doesn't matter what its name is.
It's Comic Timing. See, what? John doesn't even know the name, and he's been on the show once already, possibly even more than that. I don't even know at this point, but Comic Timing, sir.
It's unimportant. I don't listen to the show. In fact, I don't even read your posts online. I just felt it was time for me to make my presence felt outside of the Long Box.
My post, by the way, my username online is Peter Rios, just to refresh everybody's memory on that. So,
Ian Levenberg or some such.
Something like that. Some Jewish equivalent. I have no idea anymore. Yeah, so people have been ragging on you as of late. Bill, what's the deal? I mean, what's the deal here? People say that you've gone too far. Why have you gone too far?
Well, you know, it's a sign of what we see a lot with comic collectors, whether they be on forums or just in the comic shops. It's the sense of entitlement that they feel like if something's out there, they deserve it. They get to critique it without actually hearing it. Everybody has an opinion on things, whether they're based in fact or not. You know, some people claim that there actually isn't a long box. I have news for you fans out there. There are 52 long boxes in my basement right now.
But 52 means nothing.
No, nothing at all.
Nothing at all. John, have you had the pleasure of listening to the show before? Are you one of the special few?
Oh, I've listened to Bill talk on and on. I mean, there's no stopping him once he gets going. I don't think the question is, you know, has he gone too far, but will he go further?
I should also point out that at no point have I ever promised anyone that the show would actually be good. So I don't want to hear anybody getting upset if and when I do allow them access to the show. Any complaints about the quality of it? I never said it was good.
Well, and I really applaud your approach for, you know, not trying to just, you know, grab as big of an audience as possible. You're going for a very select demographic and stuff. And, I mean, it was a very interesting choice, and I respect that.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to go too far too fast, as it were. I mean, you want to keep nice and localized and only have the people that you want to listen to and listen to it. So whether or not that's your dog and your mother, that's fine.
And then the other point is it's more of a personal journal than anything else. And it's almost as if, you know, if Stephen King, yeah, he's a writer, but if he wrote a grocery list, that doesn't mean you're entitled to read it.
Yeah.
I put out this personal journal, and I invite some people to hear it, critique it, get involved in the show, and maybe one day we'll open it up. Maybe we won't. I don't even make a promise of a schedule. Maybe there'll be one out next week. Maybe it'll be, you know, on a Maximum Glory type schedule of once every 6 months.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, when Maximum Glory does put them out, though, they are fantastic. So definitely a plug to Maximum Glory. And I'm glad to see that the Pop Cult Online will be at New York Comic Con. So hope to see him there for sure. John, have you fixed the situation with the Longbox forum? I mean, as of now, it's, you know, it's locked out to only a couple people, and it's only showing you that there's actually two posts in the entire forum. What's the deal with that?
Well, when we put in the security, because, I mean, Bill, like, you know, wants, again, a very select demographic to where there can be focused conversations and not just the, oh, yeah, I agree kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think in the process of that we may have messed up the way it was counting both the threads and the posts.
I gotcha.
I mean, we're looking into that.
The whole idea behind the forum, truthfully, was just a place where we can all get away from Vorpal Keith. It's a little more exclusive than we had originally anticipated, but our long-term goal of keeping Vorpal Keith out of there has been successful.
So he, as of now, does not have any permission to post in there?
That is correct.
Okay,
hopefully,
right.
The other forums will take note of this approach and follow my lead.
No. No, I'm sorry, but no, sir. That's just a bit too elitist for me right there, and I will never be a part of that.
Elitist? Snobbish? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. And Keith, by the way, I applaud you. I absolutely applaud you for the fact that you have the most posts since this new forum actually started up, and you have eclipsed even Amy, from what I've seen, as of now, on the posts. So I applaud you, sir. I applaud you.
And now, let's not forget, pre-crisis, Amy and I ruled the whole forum.
That is definitely true.
And that's really why I call Vorpal Keith out as much as I do, because he's kind of taken my seat at the table there.
By the way, is it true that it was actually 52 weeks into the forum that it crashed, or is that just a rumor going around?
Oh, that's a rumor. It never lasted that long.
Okay. I just want to make sure here, because that would just give even more meaning to 52 there. And, you know, I'm looking at things like this. This podcast here, it originally was going to be part two of a two-part crossover between the Long Box podcast and Comic Timing. On the first episode, we were going to do The Dark Knight Returns, and here we were going to do The Dark Knight Strikes Again. And that first episode may or may not be online. I'm not quite certain, but I want you guys to think of it this way. This is like Star Wars. You know how Star Wars had, you know, the part 3, 4, and 5, or whatever the hell it was, 4, 5, and 6 before you got 1, 2, and 3? Well, that's what's happening here. Part 2's out there. If part 1 happens someday, it happens. If not, then, you know, I hope you guys enjoy this episode right here. The fact is, John, Bill, and myself are on this podcast right now. We're talking. Hopefully you guys are listening, and I hope you all enjoy it out there. That's really the best I could say.
It all comes down to how you perceive online. I mean, you know, I've said it before, mm-hmm. there is no feed.
Yeah.
You know, it's not on iTunes. It's probably not going to be on iTunes unless somebody wants to be my producer. And all I do is I talk into the mic, and if you want to hear it, you let me know. I email you the file, or I tell you where it is with a URL. There's never going to be a feed, per se.
Do you even have a website, or are you just piggybacking on somebody else's?
I'm actually hiding it on a server at my place of employment, which is another reason why we keep it so private.
I got you.
You know, free storage space, and I don't want to have somebody, you know, a red flag of all this bandwidth being used. And that's essentially why it's a private podcast, really, if you want to know the truth.
What were we going to say just now, John?
No, I think he's taking, again, a very interesting approach on that, and I think it's brilliant. You know, keep it focused, keep it limited, and, you know, it's great. I mean, I'm really enjoying it so far.
Yeah, honestly, there's no competing with CGS. They're the greatest podcast in the world, as far as I'm concerned. And you know, I just see a lot of other shows come along that try and emulate what they do, and that's not at all what I was trying to do.
Just
trying to have a little fun with the fact that everybody and their mother has a podcast these days, and the joke turned into a reality, and it's a viral thing. It's not intended to really offend anybody or anything like that, but it's not something I'm interested in throwing out there for the whole planet either.
And at the same time, even though I know that you yourself, Bill, have never even heard of my podcast or listened to it, but...
Bob, don't sell yourself short.
The name's Ian, actually.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. I very much hope that the guys out there don't think that I'm one of those, you know, podcasts that are trying to ape on CGS. I in no way want to do that either. I'm just talking comics here, and the comics are a big enough medium where there could be, you know, multiple podcasts out there talking similar things but differently. And while John was a part of one of those similar but different things that I put together with, you know, David Dean himself on 52, because, well, we did about, what, like 22 issues of 52 all at once, as opposed to doing it weekly or monthly?
Yeah, but that's mainly because I just procrastinate.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I've been trying to have John on since week one, but he's, you know, he's lazy, he's either drunk or, you know, high, so I can't really talk to him most of the time. So that's just the way things work. But, John, how are those auditions going, by the way? I mean, are they getting better? Or?
They were doing pretty well up until, I guess it was really last weekend. Had a bit of a setback there where, you know, I thought I was kicking some of the habits and... You know, a buddy of mine, it's basically kind of a, you know, the equivalent of a here, let me buy you a drink kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
12 steps programs, you know, right out the
okay.
window.
Okay, this wasn't Sean that did this, right? Because I don't want to have to say
I wasn't going to name names.
Oh, damn it. Son of a
bitch. But, Jim, I feel your pain.
Stan, I just want to point out that nobody will ever think Geek Speak is a ripoff of Comic Geek Speak at all.
The name's Ian.
That's fine.
Yeah. And by the way, yes, Geek Speak... In its own, has nothing to do with Comic Geek Speak because, well, I only talk comics every now and then on Geek Speak, and also Geek Speak is on a hiatus similar to the type of hiatus that the Wombox is on, as in it comes out whenever it wants to, because I recorded an episode of Geek Speak ages ago.
As well.
Yes, actually. Pretty much, yeah. I recorded an episode of Geek Speak about 2 weeks back, and it's still sitting there waiting to be edited because I did it about 3 a.m., and I think it sounded, you know, iffy, but I'll put it out there eventually just for the sake of, you know, putting it out there. But doing one podcast is hard enough for me. Doing two is starting to wear on me a little bit, so be glad that you only have that one podcast, Bill.
The problem I'm having with doing the one is I don't have the production crew that you know Geek Speak has, and the producers, and you know the interns and everybody helping me every step of the way, getting me coffee in the middle of recording.
I don't have any coffee or interns.
Come on.
Well, I mean, what seems to work pretty well for Sean over at Raging Bullets, I think, isn't so much the production crew, but the insomnia.
Yeah, that could work, actually, because he's usually up until about 2 or 3. I'm actually, tell you the truth, this past episode that I just released, the Rogues Gallery, I was up until 5 a.m. editing, and I know all about that insomnia thing going on. And I tell you, I sound better when I'm running out of about 3 hours sleep. That's just me. I mean, most people, you know, want to have, you know, a strong voice and a strong opinion going into things. Me, I just, you know, I wake up and I do the podcast, so it works.
Well, you know,
well.
Personally, I try and be as natural as possible. I don't try and put on any kind of voice whatsoever.
Really?
When I do my podcast.
Wow.
Keeping it real.
That's actually the slogan to the Longbox podcast. Longbox podcast. We're keeping it real. Kicking it old school.
Cha, baby.
Oh, yeah. Mylars, baby. Mylars.
I think it's time for our first secret code word for that.
Okay. Oh, so we are still doing that. Okay. I wasn't quite sure if you still wanted people to actually get that.
So, you know, some people were offended by the whole concept and got a little indignant by it, but some people are very interested in hearing what's in my long box.
Okay.
So, okay.
The password is Mr. Garibaldi.
You want to say that one more time for the folks out there?
Mr. Garibaldi.
Okay. All right, so there you go. There's the first word. I'm not repeating that because that was... What language is that, man?
It's Babylon 5 language.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember the character Londo?
I didn't really watch much Babylon 5, so I wouldn't be able to tell you anything about that. John, did you watch Babylon 5?
Jack, what the hell is your problem? That's one of the greatest sci-fi programs in history.
My name's
and
Ian.
You call yourself... Okay, Bob. You call yourself a fan, a geek? No. As a matter of fact, we need to stop recording right now. So you can go watch Babylon.
I'm not going to do that, actually. I'm not going to do that, because actually I'm catching up on my Stargate SG-1 at the moment. I just finished season 1 of that, and I've been watching season 10 as it's been happening. It's great stuff, so I'm actually doing that right now. If I started Babylon 5, I'd never sleep. So.
You disappoint me, Kurt. You really disappoint me.
My name's Ian.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay. John, did you ever watch Babylon 5? Or?
Oh, yeah. I watched the whole thing. I was a big fan of it. It's a great show. You really ought to watch it.
How does it compare to J. Michael Straczynski's work in comics?
Actually, I think it's probably his best work was on Babylon 5. I mean, mm-hmm. It was his own stuff. He had a huge arc. He wrote, like, 90 or more of the 110 episodes. So it was very much his vision. I'll be honest. I've been underwhelmed with a lot of his comic book work.
What about you, Bill? Have you ever had an episode focusing on JMS? Or
Not as of yet, but I would say when he is given, I don't want to say boundaries, but a little tighter editorial control, when he's given a free rein on the title,
yeah.
I don't think he does well. When he tries to reimagine the mythos that is Spider-Man or revisit the origin of the Fantastic Four, things along those lines, he really, really loses me.
Who would you like to see on Spider-Man?
I think as an artist, the guy for this era, if you will, would probably be Romita Jr.
Mm-hmm.
as an artist. And as a writer, I think there are lots of guys out there that could probably handle the job and do it well. I personally, you know, just based on what I see in Spider-Girl, I wouldn't mind seeing DeFalco make a return to a Spider title and see what he could bring to that.
Well, see, he's got a lot of negative connotations, though, from the whole Clone Saga thing back in the 90s. So, I mean, I don't know if we'll ever get DeFalco back on a regular mainstream Spider-Man title.
Well, see, I think he gets too much of the blame and not enough of the credit. The Spider-Clone Saga wasn't all bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it was an interesting premise, and people have to remember that before they went into that storyline, the Spider-Man books sucked. I mean, across the board, there was nothing decent in them at all.
I would agree with that.
And people were pining for a return to essentially the era they took it back to, at least the early 70s, if not earlier. And here they came with this innovative story idea of saying, hey, wait, we can take it back to that character. You want him single? We can make him single again. Mm-hmm. You want him back to, oh, woe is me and all the angst? We can do that. And as a bonus, we can do it without affecting or changing anything we've written in the last 10 or 15 years. You'll still have a married Peter Parker. You'll still have all the stories in continuity, and yet we still get to roll the clock back. And, I think editorial got scared of it and backed away. If Marvel had balls at the time, we'd have Ben Reilly as Spider-Man right now.
And also part of that is the fact that even before that whole Clone Saga thing happened, Spider-Man had basically become Batman in blue and red. I mean, he had none of his, fun quips anymore. You know, he was a very jaded, dark character. And, I mean, there was even that one arc with the carry-on virus and all that, where he lost his humanity, quote-unquote, and became more spider than man, which, by the way, doesn't sound anything at all like the other in any way, shape, or form. You know, it's not like they bit that off of that at all. I hope you see the sarcasm here. I really do. Yeah. But
No, not at all.
Okay, great. I'm glad to hear that, John. But I'd like to see Dan Slott take a swing at Spider-Man. I think you do an outstanding job at him from what I've seen him tackle the character the few times he's gotten to through She-Hulk and through The Thing. I think you do a great job on that.
Did you read the miniseries, Human Torch and Spider-Man?
I picked up about one issue of that. At the time, I was a bit short on cash, so I couldn't really follow that regularly.
It's very old school. I think you made a good choice there. I think you'd do well in the title.
John, do you have a particular person you'd like to see end up on Spider-Man?
Kirkman might be interesting.
Okay. Is that just based on what he did with him through the Marvel team-up?
More just his general writing style. I mean, more, I would say, based on, like, his work on Invincible and things like that. Another writer that I think would be good would be Dwayne McDuffie.
Okay.
I mean, some of the stuff that was done back in the Milestone universe and whatnot, particularly Static and whatnot, really great stuff, and very Spider-Man in spirit. I mean, I think at times, certainly, the creative teams on Spider-Man have totally lost their way and lost what's kind of the core aspect of the character.
Sure. Well, except for one, Peter David. Peter David, so far with Friendly Neighborhood, I've been loving every minute of that, minus the other stuff, which I don't even, consider part of his run. He was just sort of, forced into writing part of that. So, other than that, though, it's been really great stuff.
I just think right now the Spider-Man titles are so fractured on what's going on in each of the different titles that it's hard for me to, even as good as Peter David's stuff is, and I think he's a very talented writer and good on Spider-Man, it's hard for me to really be loving what he's doing on that stuff when it's fundamentally different on certain respects than what Straczynski's doing over on Amazing and what's happening on the other, half zillion Spider-Man titles out there.
Now, Bill, to take a page from your book, from what I know about you, I mean, I haven't had a chance to listen to any of your shows other than the one that I commented on, which you let me actually do that, episode 46
one. Stop posting my forum then.
All right, fine. But at the same time, I know you have a segment called Long Box Suggestions. And would you like to give a long box suggestion for Spider-Man that we possibly have not thought of yet? Say, for a current run on Spider-Man that you've been enjoying more than any of the others or something like that?
Well, Maurice.
Ian.
I mostly agree with you in that the Spider-Man books, of the group of them right now, the Peter David title is probably the most enjoyable as a standalone title.
Mm-hmm.
But I also agree with John in that it's fairly fractured now across the Spider-Man universe, if you will. I had pretty much written off all the Spider-Man titles. I was done with them after the other. Just that book was just all over the place. But for me, Civil War has really kind of got me interested in the character again.
So you like the idea of him actually getting unmasked?
I don't want to go so far as to say I like it as much as I'm intrigued by it. They've got my attention, and I want to see where it's going.
Well, I certainly think the issue where he was debating should he do that or not was probably one of the best Spider-Man stories in decades.
Mm-hmm.
my concern right now is they seem to have more or less thrown the Civil War crossover and stuff together. They're making huge sweeping changes, particularly with the Spider-Man status quo. And frankly, I don't have the faith that they're going to, you know, play it out as well as it could and should be. I don't think it's as thought through.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think throughout the entire miniseries, Civil War, the event, whatever you want to call it, they're really skipping over motivation for these characters to be behaving the way that they are. But I don't really lose a lot of sleep over it because I am enjoying watching the story unfold. And just like the Spider-Clone saga, it's not like they can't just sweep it all under the rug and pretend like it never happened if it doesn't work out in the end.
Well, that's like the classic that was done a little while back, the Spider-Man Chapter 1 by John Byrne, which nobody references at all now, with Doc Ock being in the same explosion as Spider-Man and all those wonderful ideas on his origin that everybody, you know, pretends never happened anymore.
Well, Frank, that's because it was mostly crap.
Ian.
Yeah.
I actually do agree with that, which actually goes with what we were going to talk about today, which is Dark Knight Strikes Again. You know, I actually dredged through about an issue and a half of this, actually reading it again, because I picked it up when it was coming out, because people told me that Dark Knight Returns was great, so I'm like, okay, fine, I'll pick up Dark Knight Strikes Again and see how good it is, and good was not the word for it. If there was a reverse for the word of good, I would say it's that.
Victor, there is a reverse for the word good, and it's bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I was going to go with Duke, because that's actually the reverse of good.
Yeah.
No, that's the dyslexic of good.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, well, then it's bad. It's absolutely bad. But it's funny how the first issue gives you some ideas that really could work out well. Then once issue 2 comes out, every one of those good ideas is thrown out the window for worse art and inconsistent art, and it's just doesn't have any consistency to it at all.
If I can jump in here for a second, I mean, you've got to look at, you know, the positive aspects of issue number 2, you know, and that was that it did come out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, as compared to some of the other stuff he's
done. Understate that these days. I mean, there's no guarantee of a next issue of certain books these days by certain creators.
Yes, but if you do remember correctly, that also came out, I'd say, that one was only a month behind, so that's not too shabby.
It came out on time.
Yeah. And by the way, nothing was better than the fact that we then had to wait until July of 2002, after the last one came out in January of 2002, to actually get issue number 3, which is typical Frank Miller schedule these days.
But, I mean, these are pretty thick books. They're, what, 80 pages almost? I mean, they're huge.
Mm-hmm.
So, compare that to, you know, your average 20 or so pages of story for a monthly book, and you're still, even with that kind of delay, getting the same, you know, average monthly pages.
Okay, so what you're telling me here is that you'd rather get 80 pages of crap than 20 pages of good?
Oh, God, no, no.
Okay, good,
I'm just
good. You better be saying that, or else.
Missing out of stuff to read every month if you pace yourself. And for God's sake, I mean, if this isn't a book that you want to pace yourself on and delay reading as long as possible, I don't know what is.
Yes, definitely. Because, by the way, I've never seen a more mannish Wonder Woman in my life. And I have seen many a person draw Wonder Woman. This is the most mannish Wonder Woman you will ever see in your lifetime. And similarly, the most geriatric Superman. I don't know what he was going for there. I mean, was he going for like an old-timers, old-school thing? Because, you know, one panel he'll look geriatric, the next one he looks perfectly fine. And I don't know what you want to say on that, but that's just Frank Miller for you.
Well, Tobias, I have to be honest with you in that I didn't think you were seriously going to have us talk about this, so I didn't look for the issues to try
to
read them again or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I consider the whole series something best left in the past and never even spoken of again.
What about Frank Miller in general? I mean, these days, I think he's still sort of recovering from the horror that was that book.
Well, you know, he's all over the map, really. I mean, what was the last thing he did in Sin City? Everything he does in Sin City is awesome. Anytime he gets back to Batman or touches superheroes, it seems to be a train wreck.
Well, see, that's the problem. He would love to put Batman in a trench coat and just start calling him Marv, which is the case with All-Star Batman and Robin. I mean, he makes Batman into Marv. He would just much rather be doing that, and it's incredibly apparent, and yet he still tries to do the superheroes. Just give it up already.
That's a good point, Sophie.
Sophie? I think you've gone too far, sir. The name is Ian. I am certainly not of the female variety, so I have that deep, manly voice, as if you couldn't tell.
I apologize, Lucas.
Never mind. John, how familiar are you with his backlog of work, Miller? I mean, have you read a lot of his stuff
in
the
backlog,
past?
His backlog? You mean the stuff that should have come out by now and hasn't?
Yes, yes, actually. I mean, how familiar are you with the fact that, for once, it doesn't seem like it's his fault, that it seems as if he's actually ahead on his scripts now, and it's Jim Lee that's actually taking forever for once? I mean, think of how terrible it would have been if they had suddenly decided, you know, why don't we just have Miller draw this?
Oh, God, that would be very jarring.
but in general, I mean, did you pick up any issues of All-Star Batman and Robin past, like, issue one?
Yeah, all of them.
Oh, God. Oh, you poor soul.
Didn't we already cover my addiction stuff already?
Yes, we did, but at the same time, man, why, God, why would you do that to yourself?
I can't help myself.
So you get drunk and you pick up Frank Miller books, is that it?
I wish it were that easy. I do it sober.
Oh, jeez, man. Oh, no. Oh, you. We got to check you into some sort of facility, man. This is starting to get too much here.
I thought the whole CGS 200 thing was an intervention. Imagine my surprise to find out it was at a comic book store.
Yeah, well, that was probably not the best thing to tell you. I don't know who told you that, Bill, but whatever you do, don't ever, you know, fool him into something like that again, Bill. You know, I mean, just that's ridiculous for anybody who would actually suggest something like that to you, John. Bill, it's just terrible.
Actually, it was Sean.
Ah, damn it. And by the way, this entire episode is going to be released edit-free, because I know that that's the way that John and Bill both prefer it. So, because John's on the, you know, Comic Geek Speak Mail Report, and they don't edit their stuff, and Bill, I know that you don't edit your stuff on the long box, so this is going, whatever mistakes we make during this entire thing, they're all going to end up in the recording. So I just want to let you guys know that ahead of time.
That's the way we roll.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that would have been nice to know ahead of time.
John, is this also a good time to point out that we're going to be doing a second podcast, a sequel to the Long Box, if you will, you know, the Raving Bullets? Or do you want to keep that under your hat for now?
I was going to keep that under my hat. I'm hoping for that to be a rude shock for a certain Sean Whalen.
Oh, well, let's rewind and edit at least that part out.
Honestly, though, to tell you the truth, I will edit out some of those Sean pot shots if you'd like that, John.
No, I don't care.
Because, Sean, you know we don't mean it, buddy. We definitely don't mean anything that is said on this podcast, except for the fact that my name is Ian, his name is John, and
his name is Bill. Your name is
Ian? Yeah, my name is Ian.
I thought you were Vince B. What show am I on right now?
You're on Comic Timing.
Oh, damn it, I thought it was Bullpen something or other.
No, it's not Bullpen Bulletins. However, a former member of the Comic Timing cast is one of the hosts of Bullpen Bulletins, so you came close.
All right.
David Price was a former member of Comic Timing, just to let you know. Although, of course, you don't even know who David Price is, so...
Yeah, rings no bells.
Okay.
Was he on Comic Geek Speak at some point? Is he the one that went away to do construction work or something?
No, that's not him. Oh, that's not him. You're close, though. You're very, very close. What are you guys reading these days that you want to, you know, maybe talk about here for a little bit? Because obviously, you don't want to talk about Dark Knight Strikes again, because that's something that you're definitely not reading. So what have you been reading lately that you might want to talk about, John, other than, you know, everything?
Well, actually, the funny thing is I'm behind on my reading by about a month.
Oh, my God.
I just got my latest DCBS shipment tonight. I haven't even had time to go through it yet. And that's basically four shipments that... I've read maybe 8 or 9 books out of, maybe a dozen tops.
Oh, my God. Were any of those 52?
Actually, the majority of them. I haven't read the latest 52.
I'm not surprised. Okay, I'm not surprised by that statement at all, so that's good.
reading that, I'm up on Justice League, Titans, other than whatever came out this latest week.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else. Probably one or two other things. I mean, I usually start with 52. A lot of the DC, you know, one year later and recent stuff I'll go to. And then from there, it's just whatever mood I'm in.
Bill, what's in your long box currently? What's the most recent stuff that you filed away? Since that is sort of the theme of this episode, so you might as well at least discuss that a little bit.
Well, I was saving this stuff for the next segment of recent reads and random thoughts. But, you know, because I like you, Bobby, I'm going to let you have these little nuggets here.
Ian, the name's Ian,
yeah,
actually.
One of the books that I just read last night that, you know, I really got a kick out of, it's Rockin' Like Dockin', is the E-Man one-shot from Digital Webbing. Mm-hmm. Are you guys familiar? I know John's familiar with E-Man.
Tony, familiar with, yes, have read, no.
Tony, you're a little young. You may not remember E-Man.
I don't remember that, and I don't remember that my name is Tony, so I don't know a lot of things, apparently.
All right, well, anyway, E-Man was one of the titles that when I was a kid in the, you know, mid to late 70s, when you ran out of DC titles and Marvel titles that you could find, because back then, you know, you got your stuff off the comic rack at the 7-Eleven, not necessarily a comic book shop. I think I was 11 or 12 years old before I ever saw a comic book shop. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you could get across... You could find E-Man, Captain Atom, Blue Beetle, you know, those kind of titles when you couldn't find new Marvels. And E-Man was a crazy book. It was sort of in the vein of Plastic Man. And, well, anyway, Digital Webbing had quite a coup, and they got the original creators together to do a one-shot. And they kind of updated it a little bit as far as this hair... styles and the mode of dress and things like that, but other than that, it's really got that old school flavor that I you know, I dug in the original series. I know it came back a couple of other times at different companies over the years, but for me, I lost touch with the character from back then in the 70s, and I, you know, this was like going home for me. Anybody who liked the original E-Man series, I would highly recommend you track down this Digital Webbing number one issue. It's a one shot, and it's very cool. The other thing, I have not finished again, I'm actually still reading it, I'm in the middle of it now, is Of Bitter Souls by Chuck Satterley and Norm Greyfogle. And it's pretty cool. It's a different take on the superhero teams. It's not necessarily I've got powers and therefore I must do good so much as, you know, you've been drafted and your powers are based on the flaws in your own character and let's see if you can sink or swim with them. And as I said, I haven't finished reading it, but so far so good. I'm digging it so far, and I have to... you know, in my next podcast, I'll tell you more about it.
Now, how many one boxes out of 12 do you give these things?
You know what? I've never actually done a rating like that before, so clearly you haven't listened to my show either.
Well, obviously, because, well, I can't get it, man.
I sent you the link.
When did you do that?
I PM'd it to you.
Whoa, hold on here. Let me take a look here.
Yeah, okay. You need to start checking your PMs more often.
I have no new PMs, so it must have fallen through the system.
It's the URL that it's just an IP address and then a name.
John, you're the guy who's supposed to be, you know, keeping an eye on this whole forum thing. It must have bugged on me because I never got that.
You see, here's the thing. I'm not going to spend money to register a domain name or anything like that.
Here we go.
I give you the straight IP address, and you got to figure it out from there.
No, that's a smart move, because most people take the podcasting as an opportunity to broadcast. And again, I really respect that you're doing the narrowcasting. Now, you're taking it a bit further than I would have initially thought, but hey, it's working for you, and I think it's great. You know, dip your toes in the water slowly, get used to it, and then, you know, expand later if you want.
You have to patent that term, by the way, narrowcasting. I think that could be, you know, that could be the next podcasting, really. You know, listeners of like three people.
I'm sorry, I kind of dug the concept of viral casting because, you know, when you think about it, you know, the Just Bill comic book long box could just wind up in your email box one day, almost like the latest virus that's across the web, and you could be, oh, damn it, look, oh, somebody sent me the long box, oh, damn it, you know, Samantha doesn't have a cure for this.
Don't stop there. I mean, you're tech savvy enough, you could get it to where it would actually start playing out of their email inbox.
You know, I don't want to sell, you know, give people the wrong idea that I can't, you know, do a website and I can't do a feed. I'm capable of doing all that. I'm just too lazy to do it. And my goal was hopefully to get some kind of interest locally to, you know, get myself an engineer of some sort to actually do sound effects and editing and theme music and, you know, more than just me saying, you know, hi, here's the long box, which is my typical opening, you know. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of pomp and circumstance to the show at all. I hit record and I start talking about it's essentially diarrhea at the mouth, very similar to what's going on here today. And so if you hate this, you know, count yourself lucky that you can't get the long box.
Well, and by the way, as long as it's just diarrhea of the mouth, not diarrhea of the other kind, I'll be
hey, happy. Hey.
So, whoa, I'm just saying. You know, I mean, you don't want to have to actually, you know, get a virus when you listen to the viral podcast. That would be bad.
You got that right, Javier.
What was that one? I didn't even catch that one.
Javier? How do you pronounce that?
Javier.
Javier, okay.
Yeah, you pronounced that I-A-N, Ian.
Gotcha, Carlos.
It's Ian. I've seen 90210. I mean,
Okay. Look, that is the one dude who's the exception to the rule, all right? I had to deal with that most of my life, by the way. Most people, they mispronounce the Ian, and then they mispronounce the Levenstein. So it gets to, like, Ian Levenstein every time I get out there. So,
I actually got the German equivalent once.
No, actually, that would be bad.
Like Jan Hammer?
No, because that's not my name.
Hugo?
No.
Gerard?
No.
Victor?
We're just going to keep cycling
Sergio.
Through names.
Jorge.
Jorge Perez.
Bitches.
Oh, God. I've officially broken down. This is great. I'm shocked I lasted this long before cracking up hysterically. Oh, jeez. I need to contain my composure here. There we go. But for things that I actually read recently that I actually found while looking for my Dark Knight Strikes Again. So this is stuff that I didn't expect to find, and yet I did. You guys remember JLA Act of God?
Yeah.
The Elseworlds that came out a little while back?
Is that Scott Benefeld?
No, actually that was Dave Ross.
Dave Ross, okay. I'm thinking of maybe Superpowers then. One of the news.
Yeah, Doug Monch, or Mensch, Dave Ross, George Freeman, and Chris Chukri are the creative team on this. And Act of God was actually a series that came out a little while back. Basically, it's an Elseworlds of what happens if, when all of a sudden, all of the people with superpowers in the DC universe lose their powers. And then basically the only guys that are left are people, you know, like Batman, who train themselves right off the bat and don't have any powers, or guys that, like Steel, who have the mechanics going for them. And all the heroes that used to have powers have to make a choice of either being regular people or training themselves like Batman to go out there and try and make a difference. And some have breakdowns, some have, you know, just decide to hang it up for good, and others actually take that moment to, maybe I should go and train with Batman and know everything. And it's incredibly well done. It's one of the best things I've read in a while, and I hadn't seen it in ages, so it's nice to read that again. So while looking for a terrible comic, I found three great ones, so how about that?
That was a good series.
Yeah.
I read it when it came out and enjoyed it a lot.
And also, how about DC 2000?
I read that. I was not overly impressed with it. I thought it was trying to do a JLA-JSA crossover and did it in a very non-traditional sense, but it mm-hmm. rubbed me the wrong way, having been such a huge fan of the classic JLA-JSA crossovers.
Okay, so you felt that they were sort of like forcing the hand a little bit?
More that it was kind of a dark dystopic view of it. It was a grim and gritty-ish, not to say it was necessarily grim and gritty per se, but more along those lines than I really wanted to see with that kind of a story and with those characters.
Okay, all right. So it was just a little bit too dark for your tastes.
Yeah, I guess that's the best way to say it. It wasn't a bad story. It was not the kind of story I wanted.
So it was like Man-Spider instead of Spider-Man.
Sure.
And Bill, have you ever read any of these that we were just talking about, or is this just gibberish to you?
I'm sorry, I stopped listening. Are we going to start recording anytime soon? I've got a schedule to keep.
Actually, we've been recording this entire time.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Don't worry, he'll edit. He told us that earlier.
Yes. The second code word is matzo ball soup.
Hey, there you go. That's a good one.
Once again, the second code word is matzo ball soup. There you go.
If you guys had ever actually... Well, John has listened, so he knows about this. But, Johnny, I know you haven't really paid any attention to my show yet, so this is going to be kind of new for you.
Wow, there's a John and a Johnny on this show. Fantastic.
Well, there's John and Johnny, yeah.
Actually, tell you the truth, that's the closest you've come to my name yet, because Ian in Irish means John, so...
What about Jan? Jan
no.
was close.
Nah, that wasn't too bad, but that was just you poking fun, but go ahead.
Well, anyway, as I've discussed on my show, I am currently compiling my own comic book database using the Comic Collector's software.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of my nights when I come home, while the kids watch cartoons, I've got a stack of comics from my long box, and I'm entering them into the database.
Yep.
So it's very interesting to me, you know, personally, to see some of these books that I've forgotten I've even had. And so what I do is I randomly, you know, whenever I'm recording, I grab the stack next to me and go through some of the books and talk about them. So what the book that's right in front of me right now is Adventure Comics number 479 from... Let's see. This is from.
Is that one of the first one of the ones that had Dial H for Hero in it?
That is exactly what it is.
Oh, I loved that stretch of stuff. It was great.
Dial H for Hero by Infantino, and who wrote it?
Wolfman, I think, wrote it.
Well, see, damn it, I've got the book in my front, right in front of me, and you know more about it than I do.
Which is scary, because
don't we know
sucks.
By now? Yeah, surely, don't we know by now that John every now and then has this burst of brilliance?
1980.
Well, that was one that I just got hooked on the concept, because it was a brilliant concept. It was the second take on the Dial H for Hero stuff. Instead of Robbie Reed having the alien dial, two kids, Chris King and Vicky Grant, find...
You son of a bitch. I was going to do Stump the Mayo and ask you who the hell they were, and you pulled it right out of your ass.
You know what? I know those guys too, because they were in the most recent Dial H for Heroes series. Very briefly, they were in that. So,
well, and technically, I think Chris King was a member of Titans East for a while.
Mm-hmm. I'm
trying to think if Vicky was a member of the Titans or not. Can you name the other two people who had the hero dial after that?
I couldn't even name the two that were in the book that I'm holding in my hand.
I certainly
put couldn't. Your reading glasses on is all I can suggest. I can name one of the other two. It was the guy went by the name Hero in Superboy and the Ravers. The other one was in the Superboy, the Dial H for Hero backup feature in there, which is where the stuff went after Adventure Comics. And it was a friend of Vicky and Chris's who would like draw the characters or whatever, and they realized those were the characters they were becoming.
Okay.
But I forget the character's name off the top of my head.
That's a good question.
Infantino's artwork to me was always kind of hit or miss, depending on what he was working on. I loved him on The Flash. I loved him on Star Wars. Didn't care for him on much other things, but I really dig it here in this style, H for Hero, as well.
He had a very kinetic kind of a sense of motion. He would also do some really cool stuff with fingers pointing at the various captions and stuff like that. Just kind of design elements. And it was perfect for The Flash.
Yeah.
I never really actually read any of that, so I'm just going to smile and nod.
All right, well, Pepe, I've got a question for you to kind of test your knowledge. And I'll make it a more recent question for you.
What's up, Julio?
Me and Julio sitting in the schoolyard.
Yeah.
In 1996, DC revamped the title House of Secrets,
mm-hmm.
and it was under the Vertigo imprint. Do you remember that book?
Vaguely.
There was a group of ghosts that hung out in this house, or you know, I don't know if they haunted it, however you wanted to put it. And what they did is, for whatever reason, they pulled people with secrets into the house and judged them and passed sentence on them.
Mm-hmm.
There was a runaway girl who stumbled into the House of Secrets and took up a position as an unwilling witness to the trials. What was her name?
Ooh, that's a good question. Was it Rain Harper?
Oh, that is very good. Yes, it is.
Bum-ba-da-dum. Yeehaw, I should right for once.
I guess I should take that off my list of future Stump the Ritos questions, because if you can get it...
Oh. That happened to be one of the like random books that I read back then, because I was trying to get into DC for a while, and it actually took me until Young Justice for me to actually really, really, really get into it, but I did actually randomly pick that up, so I guess I got lucky that I actually picked that book up once upon a time.
That was actually what I put into the database last night, that's why I had that on my mind.
Okay. However, you probably could still try stuffing the Rios with that, so who knows. It is a Vertigo book, so it's possible he didn't read it.
Yeah, he probably doesn't listen to this show anyway, so...
Oh, yeah. No, nobody listens to this show. We're just talking to nobody right now, so...
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I was saying, welcome to the show, John. Good to have you on, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
You're that guy with that thing, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Woo. Oh, by the way, in general, considering that, you know, we've never met before, it was really nice meeting you guys over at CGS 200.
Oh, yeah, I had a blast there. It was great.
The whole reason why we're talking right now is probably because of that. Because, well, you know, Bill couldn't shut up, and eventually we were just like, all right, fine, we'll talk to you on the damn podcast.
I thought it was despite that. I figured I'd come back from there and I'd be like persona non grata on the forum or something, you know?
Oh, yeah, right.
It's like, ooh,
right.
I finally met him. It's like, I don't want to talk with him anymore.
No, it's all over and done now. Crap. But he did try to poison you, so.
Yeah.
Now the truth can be told about what that was actually. It wasn't me.
Really?
It was not my plate. It was not my food.
Oh, really?
It was Tasha. That was Tasha's plate and Tasha's food.
Oh, okay, now I could see trying to peg this on Brian, but blaming it on Tasha? That's a little low even for you.
I want you to think about what I just said. I said it was Tasha's plate and Tasha's food. At no time did I say Tasha put it in your plates. I just said it was her plate and her food.
And everybody out there is currently wondering, what the hell are you guys talking about? And I'll actually explain this to everybody out there. While we were over at CGS 200, John goes up to get more food. He comes back, he sits down, and there's a plate of food sitting there already. And John has a very specific diet that he has to go by, or else, you know, he'll explode. So this diet obviously does not include anything that was on that plate. So technically, Bill was just putting out an invitation to please eat this and die.
No, actually, I was being very polite to the person at my table.
I said, who, please. You know, I said, please eat this and die. I said you were being polite.
She was had her baby. She had her plate of food. She decided she actually did not want it anymore. She could not find a waitress to clear her place. So I took it upon myself to help her out in that situation.
Now, John, do you consider this help or do you consider this laziness?
I think there are a few other options as well.
do you consider it sabotage? Do you consider it evil magic?
I wouldn't go so far as attempted murder, but...
okay. accidental homicide?
Maybe. I mean, you know, there are other places it could have gone, you know?
I'm just saying, I had a mission, the mission was accomplished. Were there side effects to that? Maybe.
Well, I gotta say, there is damn good Skype reception from hell. Because I would have never imagined that it would be coming this clear. They must have really good wireless down there.
They do, but I've gotten used to it down here.
We have officially gone into the... okay, I'm going to curse for the first time. We've officially gone into the what-the-fuck realm here, so...
We are allowed to do that, right? Because I think I've done that a few times. You never told me to be clean.
No, we're perfectly allowed. We're perfectly allowed. You should know that by now. I mean, obviously, you're a podcaster, so...
Yeah, I'm a podcaster that no one listens to. I don't have to worry about a clean tag or a dirty tag because I'm not on iTunes.
I don't even want to know what that would be like, man.
Am I the last person on the CGS forum to not have started his or her own podcast?
I think it's Marty Devoid is the other one.
Devoid doesn't have one yet. Matthew Guy doesn't have one yet. Let's see. I'm trying to think who else who posts
regularly.
Does Matthew
Guy have time for one? He listens to every podcast.
Matthew, you're the man. That's all I got to say out there. You're definitely the man for listening to everybody out there. And you definitely... Also, I love your segment you do for Raging Bullets also on the website. It's great actually reading those on a regular basis.
Yeah, but he does an excellent job there. No question about that.
And he's like one of the only people not to email me and ask me for the link. And I would be happy to give it to him.
Well, Matthew, you know what you got to do right now. I mean, you got to go with those code words, and you got to go ahead and get and listen to this, because then you'll officially have listened to every single podcast out there on the boards, and all will be well. Also, Vorpal Keith doesn't have one yet.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, though.
Oh, okay, all right, that's fine. Oh, and by the way, also, just to mention this at least once here, and I mentioned this last episode, I got to mention it here again. If we're going to Shady Maples for CGS 300, I'm going there for the full weekend. I guarantee you that, man. That is the best damn place ever.
I am definitely going for however long they deem to have it, because it was such a blast to get there and hook up with everybody. You know, it's been said on the forum before, but, you know, even though it was a two-day event for some of us, I just did not feel like I got to really hang out and talk to everybody that I wanted to. You know, I mostly hung out with John, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked to Amy once in a while and a couple other people, but for the most part, it was just me and John. So I really feel bad that I didn't get to hang out with everybody else as much as I wanted to.
I talked to John also, so it wasn't like he was just talking to you.
Well, you had the dinner conversation with him. I had him Friday night and then at the bar. While you were doing Dance Dance Revolution all night long.
Oh, great. You had to bring that up.
Dance,
jeez.
Baby, dance!
Hey, that was one game of Dance Dance Revolution, okay? Then I sat down, and I had a nice conversation with Sean and Jim over at the bar, so...
But it was so sexy, the way you moved.
Oh, stop!
Now, technically, the name of the game was Dance Dance Revolution Supernova.
Yes.
You find the first comic theme, no matter how tangential it was, game, and you play it. I respect that.
Well, we've answered the question, who is Supernova? Ian Levenstein.
There you go.
Yes, we know that now. It's all safe. We're all good.
Going back for a sec for CGS 200, though, it went by too fast. I think I talked to maybe a third of the people that were there. Mm-hmm. And I would have loved to have talked to everybody, but there just wasn't enough time. So, and I mean, for me, that started from, you know, 5 o'clock on that Friday or whatever, up through, good Lord, how late were we at the bar Sunday, Bill?
I mean, I think I was back in the room by 1 a.m.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
We made it back to New York by, actually, I made it home by 3, so I think that makes it that we left the bar at about 10:30, 11 o'clock, so.
But that without we left before saying goodbye?
We tried to find you. We did, but
we were sitting right there at the booth.
Wait, no, dude, no. I did actually say goodbye to you. I remember that. I said a quick goodbye and then we headed out, right? Or if I didn't, then I'm totally a dumbass and I'll have to do that. I'll say goodbye the next time I see you. You know, the minute I walk up to you, I'll say goodbye and then we can start talking.
I'm okay with that. You okay with that, Bill?
That works for me.
That's okay. What I thought.
All right, goodbye.
No, I knew you had a bit of a drive in front of you, so I wasn't too worried about it. So.
Yeah. Well, also, I knew that I'd see everybody on the forums anyway, so it wasn't like goodbye. It was like, I'll see you in 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, when we walked into that joint, I really thought, as beat as Brian was and a couple other people, I thought we were going to be in there for 5 minutes and everybody was going to start bailing. So I think John and I kind of walked around or just muddled about for almost an hour before we realized we're not leaving, are we?
Yeah, that nice little fake little Dave and Buster's we were at with the $5 cover to go up to the second bar.
Dude, I spent $20 trying to win a Homer Simpson or a Bart Simpson or something.
I can't believe you didn't get
with
that.
The Puppet Rios.
Oh, God, that would have been in the best picture ever, too. A Puppet Rios and Homer sitting on the bar together.
Charlito tried to get a photo of that. Because there was a young lady who had one, and mm-hmm. Charlito goes up and says, you know, I want to borrow that, just take a photo, and she just kind of looks at him like, who are you, and what do you want?
And why do you have a puppet that looks like a Muppet?
Hey, man, yeah. I just want to take your photo. Give me your doll, bitches.
If you give it to me, then I will give you a Jorge Perez cover.
Jorge Perez says, give me your doll, bitches.
Oh, jeez. In general, the bar, the whole experience was great. And this is the second episode now I'm even talking about that. That's how fun it is. Last time I had the New York writers with me on this on an episode just talking about random crap, so that was good stuff.
Cool.
And it's nice how many podcasters actually got to meet each other at that, even before New York Comic Con happens. So once the podcast arena happens and we're all battling to the death, it'll be terrific. We all know each other.
I was afraid Birds of Geek was going to crash and burn during the thing, in so much as I was afraid that Amy's co-host would be, you know, so miffed that Amy was getting all the attention.
Now, Denise was having a good time, too. She was walking around with Amy the entire time.
Cool.
And, you know, they got to know each other, so it was all good there. And also, Denise is a really nice person in person, because I got to ride in a car with her, Mitch, and Tony on the way back, and that was definitely great.
I think it was partially because Denise isn't as well known on the forum, even though she posts a lot. I mean, I didn't know her, you know, sight unseen the way you know Amy. As soon as you saw Amy, you knew her. Even if you didn't turn around and you heard her voice, who else would it be with that accent?
Well, yeah. That and also the fact that Amy has, I think, combined about 100,000 posts between the three forums.
Yeah.
So, you know, Denise with her, you know, maybe 1,000, she's got a while to catch up.
And, I probably shouldn't do this, but I am also going to mention here something I believe I've posted it. The girl does not take a good picture at all. I've yet to see a good picture of Amy anywhere. I was not expecting her to be the little cutie that she is in person.
You hear that, Amy? You hear that? Wow. So now you have a challenge.
Amy
totally has a challenge right now.
She looks so much better in person. She looks so much better in person than she does in her photos. Yeah, Ayakon needs to get on the ball, get back over there and do a photo shoot. And a tasteful one, or we'll kick your ass.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Amy is the little sister of all forumites, so don't abuse your photography experience with her.
Definitely. I 100% agree with that statement, because everybody loves her, in a platonic way.
She's totally awesome, and I mean, there are, I think, a couple of people in the CGS forum community that kind of, I don't want to say define the community, but are certain, you know, key aspects of it. And mm-hmm. I mean, totally, Amy is one of them.
Yeah, I mean, Vince obviously defines the dirty aspect, and, you know, you've got Marty, who also does that as well. So together, the two of them, they have, you know, the grunge aspect going perfectly fine there.
Oh, they were a blast to meet. I really enjoyed talking to them.
They're great guys. They're great guys. They totally are. And I love them going back and forth, too, because that's the best part of all of it, because they work together and, you know, they see each other all the time, that they have, like, that whole, like comedy routine going without even realizing it.
Yeah.
The problem is Vince B has kind of left the net. best. It's like our happy home is fractured a little bit now.
Aww.
I really wish the bullpen bulletins would put their form over on the CGS stuff, just because, you know, it's a lot easier for me to check just the one website versus having to bounce between multiple ones, log into all of them, and, you know, yeah. I'm lazy. I'll admit that.
Yeah, although they do have a really nice community going on over there. So, I mean, you know, they have plenty of stuff going on there, and they do come by from time to time to stop in and say hello, because it's their old stopping grounds. So.
Totally. It's just, it would be nice to see a bit more synergy between their podcast and the others.
Now, Bill, do you have the third code word ready?
It's actually more of a code phrase. And
okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
The password is... Mr. Lawyer Dirty Pants!
Okay, now say that one more time for the just in case anybody fast-forward through that and missed it.
The password is...
Mr. Lawyer Dirty Pants!
I am so happy right now.
Now, are you going to put time codes to where people know where to get the code words or not?
That's cheating. The whole point of code
cheating.
Words is to make them hear the whole episode.
You're damn straight.
Well, I was going to say we give them the right...
If you can suffer through this, I mean, you deserve whatever you get.
Hey, I think we've been doing a damn good podcast here, but that's just me, man, all right? Then again, it's my podcast, so I'm biased.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, what's my name?
Carrie.
Oh, okay, no. We've established this. I'm not a girl.
I'm going by Carrie M., who is a poster on the avatar, or a poster on the forum, who I believe was the last person to try and bludgeon me silly about not having a feed for my forum. Let me see what he's saying here.
Oh, no.
Where is it? Where did it go?
Oh, no.
You already have emails to read for your podcast.
This is great.
Let me see.
It's terrific. The dude probably already has interviews lined up that we don't even know about.
Wet rats don't jump through hoops for nobody.
Yeah.
I'm going to point that out.
Yes, wet rats. I hope you're listening to this,
yeah,
actually.
I hope he's not offended, because, you know, I sent him a PM just letting him know. I apologize to anyone who's offended by the fact that I am not putting it out there for the entire world.
Yeah.
I like Mobile Home's response, Just Bill is just a marketing genius.
Yes.
That's what I agree.
Well, Tony gets it. Tony certainly understands what's happening here. So and also, since he's been on my show, he better understand it or else. Sucker. I don't know where I am.
Here's what Carrie posted.
Okay.
I don't get the joke. I did go looking for the podcast today after seeing a post referred to the Alan Moore interview, but I guess the joke is on me. Oh, well. Well, just to respond to Carrie outside of the forum, I never said there was a feed. I've told everybody repeatedly that...
Yeah, you've been very upfront about that.
And the Alan Moore interview thing was a joke. I don't interview anybody.
Yeah. Well,
no one
you
wants
interviewed,
to talk to me. I mean, let's
you interviewed Alan Moore, which just wasn't the Alan Moore. It was just some random Alan Moore from, like, Des Moines.
Actually, it was a guy named Alan McGilvreed. He's the guy I work with.
Okay.
He doesn't have anything to do with comics, but, you know, Alan M. I can see how people can get confused.
Well, just like you don't have anything to do with comics.
I really don't. I read them, and I enjoy them, and that's it.
Do you even have artistic ability?
What little artistic ability I had, my mother crushed under her heel when I was a teenager.
Had to hurt.
I suppose she thought she was giving me constructive criticism, but having no background in reading comics or anything like that, I don't think she knew what she was coming
from. Am I going to have to get out my tiniest violin?
Yeah. It's a sad, sad Just Bill story. And then, you know, a few years later, Rob Liefeld came out around, and I was just kicking myself in the ass because me at my worst blew that guy away, and I couldn't
believe I was gonna... Oh, God. It's not an episode of Comic Timing if there isn't at least one crack at Rob Liefeld.
Hey, here's the thing. If Rob Liefeld had had my mother, none of us would have been subjected to him.
Wow. That's it. So I'm going back in time, and I'm making sure that Rob Liefeld gets adopted. And then guess what? You'll have to put up with having Rob Liefeld as a brother.
But, you know, seriously, you know, I've heard a lot of
people take one for the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Rob Liefeld, in general, he's a nice guy in person. So even if he is somehow listening to this, can I have an interview? That'd be great.
You know, bringing it back to the question, though, I've heard it said before that a lot of people who are into comic books do so because they're into them because they had aspirations to be a creator, either a writer or an artist at some point, and they're kind of keeping the dream alive or something. That, for me, has never been the case. I dabbled a little bit when I was, a young buck, and I've continued. I've read comics since I was 5, 6, 7 years old, and I'm 38 now, and it wasn't because I want to draw them or write them. It's because I enjoy the medium.
How long ago were you a young buck?
I was born in the winter of 1968.
In my day.
Well, Nancy says I can have a jelly bean now.
Oh, holy crap, he's back from the dead already?
Well, where's my monkey?
No, that's George W., actually.
It's bedtime for Bonzo.
And Germany.
Well, my fellow Americans, today is a solemn day. Well, we bombed the shit out of Grenada.
You better connect this to comics somehow, or else I'm cutting this out.
Well,
wasn't
I believe Reagan was in
during
the Batman Returns, wasn't he?
Batman Returns?
Or whatever it was.
Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Returns.
That bat guy returned from somewhere, and Reagan was president.
Okay. All of a sudden, it makes sense. Beautiful.
You're damn right, Skippy.
Ian. Yeah. That name's Ian.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
Pop quiz.
Yeah.
The milestone character Y-Son from Blood Syndicate, what was his real name?
John, you got this?
John hung up in fear.
See, Wise Son from the Blood Syndicate. I've got the first issue of that. I've read the first issue of that. Of course, that would have been probably around the time it came out. Should be, what, 15 plus years ago, thereabouts?
Yeah, I don't recall when that issue came out, but it was early 90s, like 93, I think, was their heyday for Milestone Comics in general.
Yeah. No, I do not remember.
Hannibal White.
I would have never known that because I would have never read that. And I haven't read that. However, I will hopefully read that eventually. I don't know. Okay, what race is Beta Ray Bill? What race of aliens is Beta Ray Bill a part of?
Horsey-like creatures who have... I don't know.
Actually, surprisingly enough, that's not what they're called. John, you got this one?
Actually, I was going to go with Bill's answer.
Oh, damn it. The Corbinites.
I said that. We must be breaking up.
Yeah, I think there's some...
Whoa, wait, hold on, connection. Hold on. It's not you, it's me.
You're right.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Okay, I got it, I gotcha. I gotcha, Manuel.
You see, it's funny when I do it.
Oh.
Not so funny when you do it. It's Bill. Just Bill. Because Bill is just.
Is that another one of the slogans you use for the podcast?
That's right, Jorge.
He's been using that on the teaser a bunch of times. Haven't you been listening to those either?
God,
you know,
damn
that's
it.
The other thing. I send this teaser out to everybody that does a podcast. I have yet to hear it on anyone's show.
I didn't get it.
And
so.
I thought they were pretty well produced, Bill. I mean, I know you're going for a low-tech and simplistic approach, but, I mean, you've got style.
To be honest, Frank, you didn't get it because I didn't even know you did a podcast.
Ian.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, guess what? I do a podcast, so if you'd be so kind, please send it along to comictiming@gmail.com.
Now, in Maxim's defense, I'm sure it'll show up on the Pop Cult in about 20 years.
It'll be there eventually. And, you know, he is, like I said, he's going to be at New York Comic Con, so he could do episode 2 from there.
I was bummed he didn't make it to CGS 200, because I'm not going to the New York Con.
Oh, you're not going to New York, man? Jeez.
No.
I mean, you're not taking that trip all the way out from Texas to New York?
Nope.
I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked. I'm not too shocked, actually.
We got to get Maxim and some of these other people out to San Diego, then.
Yes, or to 300.
How about Baltimore? Because I'm not going to New York or San Diego or Texas anytime soon.
I'll probably be at Baltimore next year, Bill.
Excellent. Come on down.
Because I was actually there this past year, and we didn't actually meet up.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
I mean, it's not that big of a show.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how that happened, because we talked about it on the forums, and then we never actually met up.
And then I actually went out to dinner with Peter, and I think Justice from the forum, and a couple other people.
And I actually didn't run into Peter until I was about to leave the con. So that's probably the way that happened. Next year, I'll make sure to, you know, get in contact, because I was actually staying outside of Baltimore, so that could have been one of the reasons. Because I was staying an hour out of Baltimore. It was one of the worst decisions I ever made, but at the same time, I found one of the best restaurants ever because of that. So,
well, next year, PM me in advance, and I'll see what I can do about getting you a good rate on a room right there in the city.
Excellent, without a doubt, yeah. Because I went through Priceline this time around, and while it was cheap, it was also an hour out, so that was a bit ridiculous. But I was able to hop on the light line and was able to get there, no, you know, lickety split. So,
my company owns a hotel within walking distance. I mean, it's not, you know, like right next to the convention center.
Okay,
but it's close enough that you can walk there.
Well, I'll have to remember that for Otakon as well. I'll be in contact.
All right.
All right. So I think we pretty much exhausted every single opportunity to discuss anything here.
All right. Well, let's review. We made fun of Vorpal Keith.
Okay. That's yeah. Good. Yeah.
We gave a shout out to Matthew Guy.
Mm-hmm. Made fun of Sean.
A little Sean. Check.
Yeah.
Did we do enough of that? Because I'm not sure.
If you want to do some more, you can go ahead. But once again, I prefix this with Sean. All of these statements that John makes, it's only because he doesn't like you. I like you perfectly fine. So,
I think he does a brilliant podcast and stuff.
I'm joking, dude. God.
I want to throw out there, you know, stop the hate. You know, just because I have a podcast, there's no reason to hate on me.
Yes. Yes, and everybody loves Sean Whalen here. Everybody, okay? Everybody. And Jim. Jim's awesome, too.
Yeah, Jim's great. I enjoyed meeting him in CGS 200.
He's a very cool guy in person.
Very patient, cool. Very understanding, yeah. Very accepting. I mean,
yeah, and I got to find out about
it. From the podcast he's on.
Yeah, and also, how are those Wildstorm issues going for you, buddy?
Oh, like I've even opened them yet.
Oh, dude, you hurt me. You really do. I'm shocked that those weren't the first things you picked up.
I've been working like a dog.
I know. God, you just can't take a joke anymore. Bill, I mean, I swear to God, this guy just, he just doesn't get it.
My name's Frank.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, actually, I have been seeing the Wildstorm stuff where I can read it and you know, give it the time it deserves, and you know, thank Sean properly for giving those copies to me.
Yeah.
Hey, can I read a fan letter here from one Dr. Norge as a closing tidbit?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Dr. Norge wrote me this lovely letter. Just wanted to say I really enjoyed last week's podcast, and I'm looking forward to your upcoming Comic Timing crossover, where you finished the fantastic discussion you started on this week's show. While I think you were a little harsh on the art, I totally agree with your comments on the overall story. Any chance for a shout-out on Comic Timing? I'm a huge fan. Your show is the reason I got into podcasting. You know, I hear that so much, Bobby. I hear that so much from so many people that they're inspired by my show, and you know, it for other people that might make them feel all warm and fuzzy inside. For me, it just pisses me off. All you people need to stop riding my balls and just let me do my thing.
All right, well, we'll have to remember not to ride your balls in the future, because I mean, they are hanging pretty low and easy to ride.
Easy to ride, that's right. Puppet Rios knows all about that, baby.
Oh God. That was one of the most disturbing pictures I've ever seen in my life, man. That'll be an image I never burn out of my mind entirely. Oh, and John, by the way, you're not the only person that Sean has forced Wildstorm upon. I picked up Gen 13 due to his glowing endorsement, and God damn him, it was good. God damn him. And now I have to pick this up on a regular basis, all because of his glowing endorsement.
The one that really has me worried is the Midnighter one, because it's Garth Ennis and Chris Sprouse, and that actually seems like a pretty good creative team. But, you know, well, I gotta cut back somewhere.
Dude, Gail Simone on Gen 13, I wasn't gonna pick it up, and it's as good as anything Gail Simone's ever written before. I'm actually amazed at how good it is, because I mean, I know Gail Simone's great, but I didn't think Gen 13 was going to be good for her. But it is, and wow. That's the best thing I can say to that, because I'm just absolutely shocked and amazed by this so far. So I don't know about the rest of the Wildstorm stuff, but that one I'm definitely picking up on a regular basis. You know, if I try to pick up Jim Lee's stuff on Wildcats, though, that'll be good, because I can pace myself, you know, one page a month, and by the time the issue 2 comes out, I might be done with it.
Yeah, who knows? Jim Lee might even be done with it by then.
You got a point. If I get into that rant again, we'll be here for the next 3 hours, so yeah, I don't want to do that.
We should wrap it up, and maybe next time we can actually talk about comics for two-thirds of the episode instead of...
That would be good, yeah, and maybe actually talk about Dark Knight Strikes again, like we were going to do for part two, but at least we have part one out there, and hopefully, you know, hopefully someday people will be able to hear that, and hopefully someday we'll actually release that to the public as opposed to Bill's grandmother and his cat.
I can chalk it up for everybody right here in less than a minute.
Go ahead.
The first miniseries, good. Dark Knight Strikes Again, bad. End of discussion. There you go.
Okay. And, you know, John was there too, although I think he might have been a bit off during that, but we're not going to get into that again because he knows his demons.
Hey, I call him as I see him. That's all I can say.
Okay. Fine. Nevertheless, though, John, it's been good having you on again, and maybe, just maybe, I'll bring you back for that 52 thing at the end.
Hey, I'd like to do that. It was fun.
That was a lot of fun, actually. Both you and David, we've gotten really positive reviews for that. So without a doubt, I'm going to bring you back for that one. And Bill, I'm sure I'm going to get plenty of negative reviews on this one, so I'll definitely bring you back as well.
Hey, Nathan, you roll the dice, you take your chances.
Nathan, that's the best one you've done so far, man. Dude, you're making me Jones for some Nathan's hot dogs now.
I'm not going to touch that one at all.
Because it will kill you, right?
Oh. Wait, that would kill you, wouldn't it?
Food allergy number 37.
But no, Nathan's hot dogs are a food product. They are not... Oh, never mind, I'm not going to bother. Bill, it's been a pleasure. Do you want to give the IP address? No, that would be bad. That would be
Daniel,
wrong,
my brother, you know better than that.
I'm sorry.
It's
but
a
yes.
Narrowcast. Limited
yes.
audience.
I am trying
viral
to trademark
cast.
Viral cast.
Again, that's a great term. I got no problem with that.
Yes. So if Bill ever gives you a virus, you'll know why.
And I should come out with bumper stickers or something. Damn it. I caught JB's long box.
That's the best slogan I've heard so far. That's great. You should start up every single episode with that. Get one of the girls in the forum to say that.
I'm going to do a contest for, you know, theme music and also real nice bumper stickers or just advertisements I can put out there that people can get pissed off at me about because they can't listen.
Well, I'm actually holding a contest right now, which I actually just mentioned this past episode. It's a very simple contest. Post a topic suggestion, and you'll automatically be in the running for this. And the winner will receive my regular version of the Sin City Volume 1 trade paperback, as now that I got that special edition, well, I have this extra one, and I might as well give it away to the fans. And also included in that will be a beautiful John Cassaday Captain America poster, which I've had for a while now, from back in the day when he was actually doing Marvel Knights Captain America, which was about, what, 4 years ago now, something like that? And that's a really, really nice poster. So those are the two things that are being given away right now. There might be more things involved with that later on, but I will definitely be having that as part of the contest. So anybody who wants to do that, just post your suggestions on Comic Timings forums and go ahead and do so, and that'll be that. And John, as usual, we can find you on the Mayo Report. You got two Mayo Reports now.
Yeah. I'm doing, obviously, the comic stuff over on Comic Geek Speak, and I'm starting to do the trades over on Collected Comics Library with Chris Marshall. And then I've got the numbers going up once a month over at Comic Book Resources.
So you're spreading yourself out, all in that plan to be on as many podcasts as possible.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're getting there. You will be the man of 2,000 podcasts soon enough.
That's the plan. Get on all of them. It saves me a lot of time and trouble on the editing and all that stuff. I don't need a production crew.
But at the same time, avoid MuggleCast. Because I don't want you on a Harry Potter podcast. That would be wrong.
I reserve the right to get on RangerCast or PodForce, though, if they ever invite, which I doubt they will.
RangerCast?
Yeah.
What is that? I've never heard of that.
Power Rangers.
Oh, awesome. Okay, I need to start listening to that immediately. I have friends that are still into that and still actually like follow that on a regular basis, so I would actually be interested to see what that episode of that is like. Did I get like the guys who used to be Power Rangers on that at all? Or?
No, it's a bunch of... It's very similar to a lot of the comic ones where they spun out of the CGS forums. The Ranger cast spun out of Ranger Board, as did, I think, Pod Force, and there may be one other. But they talk about the current episode and, you know, which Ranger was the best, that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool. That works. Bill, by the way, just so everybody can know, you know, what your handle is on the forums, you know, for those of you who just listen to Comic Timing and don't really know who you are, what is your handle on the Comic Geek Speak forums?
It's Iacon. That's I-A-C-O-N.
Okay. And what's your real one?
Just Bill.
Okay, it's just Bill, right?
Yes.
So it's B-I-L-L, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so just Bill. That's it. Just look for Bill on the forums. That's B-I-L-L, and that's it.
Yes.
Just Bill.
And, John, since you're in touch with so many of these podcasters out in the world, can you hook me up with a guy who does 5 minutes of manga for CGS? I like that show. That Bobby guy.
I'll see what I can do on that. He seems to be, you know, a little flaky, because, I mean, he hadn't done one of those in ages.
What's his name? Ion Levenberg or something?
Yeah. You see, it's kind of interesting. I do the anime report, not the manga.
Oh, you do the anime. Who does 5 minutes of manga?
That would Charlito. Be Charlito himself.
Oh, is it really?
Yep.
See, I've got you guys mixed up.
You've been on the wrong podcast this entire time, you bastard. You thought I was Charlito this entire time.
I need to go.
Bitches! Although, yeah, no, actually, there is an anime report that I handed in to Brian. I got the PM from him.
Yeah, so you're just riding Charlito's balls, though.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's 5 minutes of manga, man. That's where it's at.
No, the anime report is totally where it's at, and you'll find that out on the latest anime report. I put a lot of time and effort into this latest one.
But do you say, at the beginning of each episode? No.
No. However, I do have anime music playing throughout the entire thing, which actually is a new addition to it. I tried to match as much as possible the music with what I was talking about. So if I'm talking about, you know, say Evangelion, there'll be Evangelion music playing in the background, which is a new feature that I added to it.
Wait a minute. Gives a little bit more punch to it. Are you telling me you're not the dude with the puppet at CGS 200?
No, that was Charlito.
Well, who the hell are you?
I'm Ian.
You're serious about this Ian thing this whole time?
Yeah.
I thought you were just joking.
No, I was the dude who was sitting next to John at the dinner.
The second dinner, not the first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, that was Amy, wasn't it, sitting next to you at the dinner?
No, it was the second dinner, the one on Saturday.
Nah, it's not ringing any bells.
Next to Brandon?
Brandon, right, I remember you now, right, Brandon, you won the trivia contest.
Okay, no, I'm not Brandon, I was sitting next, alright, you know what, never mind, I give up. I give up entirely. My name is John from now on, okay? There's John and Johnny on this show. Just to make life easy here. Okay, my name is Ian, damn you! Screw you all, and listen to Just Bill's Longbox podcast if it exists.
I'm sorry about that, Ion.
That's fine, Bile. It's fine.
Kyle, that's your name. Kyle, I remember that.
No. Ian.
Egon,
like the character on the Nine.
No, Egon from Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Who are you going to call?
Just Bill. I don't know.
We've officially gotten into obscenity.
Too much human contact can upset my stomach.
So I can understand why you don't usually talk to people on your podcast.
I don't talk to people. I try not to talk to my own family. I try to do all my communication over the forum whenever possible.
By the way, is it true that you record your podcast in a bathroom?
Sometimes. I figure who really cares? I mean, nobody really listens to it anyway.
Okay, I was wondering, because I thought I heard that somebody talking about, like, a toilet flushing in the background.
There was a flush in an episode, and I make no apologies for that.
Okay.
When nature calls, you must answer the call.
Exactly, and hopefully if I ever call you again on Skype, you'll answer, so it's all good, right?
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
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 Okay. By the way...
Are you going to let me off the phone yet? Damn!
No, you can't go yet because Comic Timing is brought to you by the New York Comic Con.
Somebody actually sponsored this nonsense?
Yep.
Oh my god.
Actually, yes. New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and has double the space with more gaming and anime for 2007. Come to the Jacob Javits Center February 23rd and 25th and experience the biggest pop culture event in New York City, featuring comics, anime, manga, graphic novels, video games, trading card games, RPG, MMOs, toys, movies, TV, celebrity, Not Just Bill, and more. Guest of honors include Stan Lee, Jeff Smith, J. Michael Straczynski, Not Just Bill, and George Perez, with many more to be announced. For complete list of guests, as well as show information, visit NYComic.com. comiccon.com. Buy your tickets online now to ensure your spot for the 2007 show. No proceeds go to Just Bill. Tickets are available now at a discounted rate for advanced purchases at mycomiccon.com. You can also book your travel arrangements online now on the travel page of the website. You will not be staying at Just Bill's home. Don't miss out on the 2007 New York Comic Con. Visit our website to get all the information you need.
Will there be pie?
Yes.
Then I may come. Even though my wife is giving birth in February, if there's pie, I'm coming up.
You know, you should probably take care of the whole birth thing.
Do you think?
Yeah, that would probably be important.
I thought the wife did most of the work on that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. All I was going to do is play video games and wait for, you know, somebody to tell me what the kid's called. And, you know.
Do you know how afraid my dad was that I was going to be born in the Super Bowl? I was born on January 28th. The Super Bowl happened, I think, 2 weeks before that. And I was late 2 weeks. So he was basically shaking his boots, afraid that he was going to miss the Super Bowl because of my birth.
I hope you didn't disappoint.
No, I didn't, actually. I kicked the field goal.
And we won the game!
Woo! But once again, guys, it's been a pleasure, even if this was the most insane episode I've ever done. There will be a little bit of editing in this episode, I guarantee
you
that.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. John, always a pleasure, buddy.
Hey, it's always fun. I enjoy it.
And Bill, it's been okay.
Yeah. All right. See you later, Skippy.
All right. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out those forums over at cgspodcast.com/forum, which are graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. The links are in the show notes and on the main page. And please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. That would be graciously appreciated.
God,
next episode,
this is the never-ending closing. It's been going on for an hour.
Next episode, we will have Sean and Jim from the Raging Bullets podcast on to discuss Superman Confidential as part of our Confidential crossover. I hope to see you guys then.
No
for John
one cares.
And Bill,
I me. It's all about Just Bill. Stop trying to act like it's not.
For John, for that guy talking that never seems to stop, I'm Ian Levinstein, reminding everyone that there's always...
Wait, hold on. What was your name again?
There's
it
always...
It doesn't matter what your name is!
There's always time for comics. Mr. Dirty Man.
Mr. Lawyer Dirty Pants. He disparaged me. I will have my day in court.
I think you should do that, but when they PM you, point out that it was words, not phrases you were looking for.
So which word was it, right?
It's three words. Cor. A. Perez.
Oh, God. It's like they'll come back to me and say, "Dear Ian, you've been good up until this episode, but now I'm not quite sure anymore."
Yeah, you don't want to have any of my reputation in podcasts rubbing off on you.
Too late.